Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, April 28th, 2025. Someone trying to talk here? We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on a donation tab, top right side of a website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading. Last time we were looking into the Gospel of Luke a couple of weeks ago. We read Luke 1 and Luke 2. Tonight we'll be looking at Luke chapter 3. So, Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answereth and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Esli, which was the son of Nagi, which was the son of Maath, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Semei, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Risa, which was the son of Zerubbabel, which was the son of Salathiel, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adai, which was the son of Kosam, which was the son of Elmodam, which was the son of which was the son of Josie, which was the son of Eliezer, which was the son of Joram, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Jonan, which was the son of Eliakim, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Naasson, which was the son of Aminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Ezram, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Therah, which was the son of Nacor, which was the son of Sarah, which was the son of Ragor, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Selah, which was the son of Cainan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Sem, which was the son of Noe, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Malaleel, which was the son of Cainan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions tonight or any announcements to be made?
Yes, we have both tonight, John.
Before you get started, we should connect, if not after the call tonight, maybe tomorrow morning, and talk about, Skype going down.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay, this announcement I made last week, and I'll repeat it again because it starts in 2 days. It's the National Day of Prayer, which goes on for 3 days. It's a 3-day prayer vigil. Starts April 30th, goes through May 1st and 2nd of 2025, and it's by Zane Lawhorn's prayer vigil. And if you would like more information on it, there's a link here. And it's https://americaturnsback.org. That's AmericaTurnsBack, and back, BACK.org. So I hope you all at least think about it, and if you like, participate in that meditation prayer. Now, we have questions this week, John, but I thought we had answered all of them either last week or a week or two before that. So I will run them by you, and if you think of anything more to add or you realize we didn't address it before, please give your best effort to it. The first one is, where can we find more information on the New York State election law from 1911, referred to as the Gatekeeper Clause?
Yeah, you would have to go to Albany physically and go to the archives there to dig that up. But I'm pretty sure, well, I know we did make a copy of that law. And matter of fact, we took a copy of the entire 1909-1911 law, and of course it's much thinner than the law. It was hugely changed from 1909 to 1911. Literally, let me think. I think I could say maybe 5 or 6 times, or maybe even more thicker. If we would think of pages. Again, I don't recall the exact information. It's been a long time, but if I could try to search it out, and probably scanned already into my computer, so I just have to find it, and maybe I'll post it up online somewhere, and if someone asks me next week again, hopefully I'll have it done by then, and I can tell you where we're going to put it. Okay.
The next three questions, I'll read them all at once. They kind of pertain to the same things. The first one is, how do we add our auto repair business to the common law trust? The second, do we need a common law lawyer to help us make sure the paperwork is done right? And three, does the common law trust have to be filed with the county where we lived, or is it not necessary to file publicly?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary to file publicly. You know, you got to be careful because you can only file so much concerning the information on that, because a trust has to have a beneficiary and you don't want to reveal the beneficiary. But you got to be very careful. We do have a lot of information on it. You can get a lawyer to do a trust, but it'll be a trust, a bar trust, you know, their creations, and wouldn't be a common law trust. You can find information on it under Education Starts Here. Let me think where I put the trust. I think it's under, yeah, I think I put it under law, and it's under court forms and process, maybe. Let me take a look at some of these things here. Yeah, it might be under there. I think I might have it on that page. If not, I'll have to search it out and see once, you know, where we put it, but I'm pretty sure it's here. Let's see, common law trust. Yep, not here. Probably under Education Starts Here somewhere. Maybe something in here. Oh, here it is, Common Law Trust. Okay, so I have all the information here, quite a bit of information. It's a little tricky. You got to give a lot of thought to it and think it out and put it together properly. Now, doing an auto business, an automobile business, I don't know. You know, that's something that's really out there that could, you know, they can go after the automobile business if it's an auto shop or whatever the case may be. Usually people will do trusts, for instance, I'll give you from a contractor's perspective. You know, if you're a general contractor, or especially if you're a site contractor, and let's say you have a lot of machinery, a lot of heavy machinery, you got, you know, bulldozers, track hoes, and all kinds of different equipment. And what might be the wise thing to do, for instance, is take all the equipment and put that into another corporation and let that be owned by a trust. But that kind of takes it out of the picture of being in jeopardy out there in the field as you're working. Someone puts a lien on you and maybe sues you. Well, they can't get to the machines because the machines is no longer owned by the contracting business. I mean, that's kind of an example of way things to do. Usually trusts are put together on behalf of an individual, you know, usually. So if you had children or something, you wanted to move a lot of things into that trust, you could move it into the trust. But remember, there are three different types of people that are involved in creating a trust. You know, you have to have the trustee, and you have to have the beneficiary, and then you have to have the individual who gifts the information, you know, whatever it is that you're going to put into that trust. It could be money, it could be a property, it could be anything. So someone has to gift that into the trust. It becomes the gift on behalf of the beneficiary with a trustee. And generally speaking, you should have two trustees. So again, there's a lot of information here that you need to look. You're going to open a bank account. You're going to have to have an EIN number. Okay. So that has to be achieved. That could be done by the person. It could be done by the trustee. It could be done by anyone. But you have to get an EIN number. Maybe, excuse me. Again, things are going to change soon. Let me think about this EIN number. Yeah, you still have to get that. Okay. Anyway, that's sort of information I give you in a trust. So, as far as the lawyer is concerned, I think I mentioned that they're not going to do a common law trust. They have no clue what being looked at. And as far as filing it, if you were to file the trust, you'd file in the county. I don't know why you'd want to file a trust. Again, everything's kind of secret. Not anybody's business. And again, if you did file it, I can't think of a good reason to file it with the county. But definitely wherever you file it, and even getting a bank account. It is tough to get a bank account because banks will require, more than likely, they won't do a common law trust because they want you to expose the beneficiary, and that would defeat the whole purpose. So obviously that's a problem. So it's tough to get the bank account, but you can do it. All right, next question.
That's all the questions, John.
Oh, okay. And, okay, let me go through a couple of things. By the way, we have the, let me see if anybody's in the queue. We have the queue open. If anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone. If you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button there to get into the queue. But there's no one in the queue right now, so someone might want to get into that now if you want to get hurt early. Okay, we've been working on some things, trying to go into the courts and bring the courts back to courts of record again. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we've asked for people to give us some help, and, you know, we have collected enough money to go forward now to some degree, enough to get all the books, the necessary toner and paper, and start putting things together. It's probably going to be about 2 weeks before I'd be able to file. I can start probably writing that this week. But we're still going to need more money for mailing, filing, and traveling money. And let me see. So far, we've collected $1,235. And I just want to go through this on how we what kind of money's received. We received a lot of. Almost all this money was received by just a few people. Some people gave some really good amounts. We had three people that gave us $100 apiece. We had another person who gave us $75. We had another person who gave us $300, and another person who gave us $500, and then maybe two or three people that gave us maybe four people. I don't remember, but another $60. And that comes to $1,235. So again, it at least brings us to a point where we can start preparing and trust that we're going to be able to collect the additional $1,000 or so that we may need for the mailing, the filing, and the traveling. So again, you know, we're not lawyers, so we're not charging people for anything to be done. If you're going to go to the, and we're going to the United States Supreme Court with this case. We're going to be going in a very unique way. I've been thinking a lot about this, how to position ourselves, how to pose this paperwork and put it together. And so we're going to be doing some very unique things, some very powerful things, in my opinion. And it's going to be done quite differently, I do believe. Well, I don't think we're going to have a problem getting it up to the Supreme Court. There is a way they have the jurisdiction on this particular question, the problem. And what we need to understand, for instance, we have a common law question. And the federal judiciary, you know, all the federal courts, the judges, they're administrative law judges called ALJs. And it kind of perplexed me. I mean, I've seen this a little bit as time around as administrative law judges, but I never gave it a lot of thought. In the past couple of weeks or month or so, I've been giving it some thought, coming to realize that every single judge that sits on the bench, whether it's state, federal, town, city, county, whatever it is, they're ALJs. They're administrative law judges. Administrative law identifies with equity, obviously. They cannot hear a case in law. They can't stick their fingers into a case of law. So they can't make summary judgments. Now, we've always known that they couldn't make summary judgment. They were looking for a jury. But we need to realize what this means. Any decision that they made is unlawful and ruins the case. If they make any decisions to say, well, they execute their rules, well, they've interfered with the case. Case is ultimately null and void. It's a huge, huge problem, really. If we're going to be really just and move back to common law courts, just about everybody that's in prison right now, they've got to be reheard in most cases. And it's a huge problem, a huge, huge problem. Once a judge makes a decision, for instance, let's say, the jury comes in and they says, hey, okay, look, at you guys get to decide the facts, but I'm going to decide the law. And if they broke this A, B, C, D, and E, whatever the case may be, you must find them guilty. Well, that court case is null and void now. It's without due process. It's a denial of due process. So that situation, anytime that a judge sticks their fingers into the case. I don't know that there's much we can think or do about, indictments. But, of course, indictments are problematic, too. Once you have the state coming in to deal with any kind of a connection concerning the indictment, it becomes a problem. Okay, the only one that can bring indictments in before a grand jury is the sheriff or the coroner. I don't know of anyone else. Maybe there is another position. I can't think of one. But I know those two about it. People can bring a case into before the grand jury, but they need to bring it in through the sheriff. The sheriff, of course, could call you in to talk about it a little bit, I guess, if he wanted. He could do whatever he wants on that, bring the evidence and information in. But generally speaking, barristers definitely cannot go in to look for an indictment. There's a conflict of interest. There's a problem. And besides that, there are esquires, the violation of the original 13th Amendment, and so on. So nobody from the state really can stick their fingers into the case when it comes to a grand jury. It has to be done all by the people. Excuse me. And now, again, it's up to the sheriff to evaluate the evidence and think about things and see once whether they have enough. If they have enough information to really look further into the case and see if there is a crime that took place. So they would have to do an investigation for it by information brought by the people. Now the people can get before the grand jury, but you got to really think about what it is that they might want to bring in or talk about. If they're trying to bring a case and to try to get an indictment, it's got to go through the sheriff. But maybe there's another reason for people to go and talk to a grand jury. I don't know. I can't think of one, but I don't want to, say that it can't be done. I don't know. Someone may bring up some thought ideas, and we can find some logical conclusions that, people could be able to go to the grand jury to bring something up or whatever the case may be. Here's a possibility, maybe a case of a situation going on in a government office somewhere where there's a problem, and there is a person who's a whistleblower, and they want to go speak to the grand jury about this. They'd have to go talk with the sheriff and get onto the agenda and let them know, look, I'm bringing some information concerning some problems that's going on in a government office. And then they could bring that to the, and this is a lot easier than going through the sheriff, because the sheriff would have to go get evidence and you have to go get warrants and do all kinds of things, where the grand jury doesn't have to do that. The grand jury, because we're the owner of the government, they work for us, so an individual, could bring this case to the grand jury, speak to the grand jury, and the grand jury can investigate. An investigation might be, three or four or so many. I wouldn't think much more than that. People would go in to start looking around to make an investigation of what's going on. And they have the ability to look into computers and records and files and so on and so forth, because after all, we're the people. We own that stuff. And they work for us, and we're checking their work to see what's going on here. So I guess a case like that is possible. But I can't think of too many other things. I can't think of any other thing, actually. Now, I think you'd get a big argument from the powers that be, saying, oh, no, they still have to get a warrant, and they got to get this, and they got to get... No, not at all. They don't. They don't. But that's something that would be an uphill battle. And I don't think it would be an uphill battle if we can get our courts of justice back. But rest assured, I do not believe, and I could be wrong on this, okay, Trump's doing a great job, and this may be the reason why we're not getting much money to be able to do this particular project here and bring back our courts of justice. And that is that people think that Trump has everything under control. Now, he may understand what I'm talking about. He may understand common law. He may understand the Rules Enabling Act and the problem with that. He may understand that there is no just courts. I don't believe he does, but he may. He may. He may kind of keep that sort of under his hat for, and that could be thought for a number of reasons. It's not a time to make this argument, maybe. But you would think that they'd at least start throwing out some clues. I mean, the first clue that wouldn't give the information out or the way what's in their mind or what they're thinking about, but is the fact that we are a republic. And no one in his administration, neither he, is talking about us being a republic. You know, a democratic republic form of government is an oxymoron. Doesn't exist, can't exist. It's like putting water and oil together. Can't happen. People don't understand that. People think we can't survive without a two-party system. We have to have that balance. So my question is, a balance for what? For everything they argue and debate and complain about is things that they shouldn't even been talking about. They have no power or authority to deal with it. I'd say probably, my guess, at least 90%, maybe more, of the things that the legislators do is unlawful. Not that a lot of legislation is unlawful, I'm not saying that. But a lot of things that they're doing is unlawful. There is legislation that is repugnant to the common law, and therefore that legislation is null and void. And that's why the people have the power of nullification in a court of law. We can nullify any statute they might bring in, any regulation they might try to apply upon an individual, any kind of a code that they bring in. Particularly in a case, and the only place that would happen really is in a criminal case, and the individual that's being accused of being a criminal would be someone working for an agency. And that's when, you know, the statutes and the codes and regulations would have application within that court. I don't believe they understand. And we have to make sure that they do understand. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. I think Trump is looking to get rid of quite a few, ALJs, law judges on the federal level, particularly administrative law judges. I do believe he's doing that, doing it for a good reason, but not the right reason. The most powerful reason is the fact that they do not honor the Constitution. And therefore, common law is not available. When these people have no respect for the Constitution and they have no respect for the law, they have no respect for the Constitution. And someone opening up their mic? Anyway, they have no respect for the law. You're not going to get justice. They're going to maintain the status quo. I mean, look at all these moron judges, one after another, after another, after another, trying to stop Trump from doing his job. I do think, though, that Trump is allowing this to happen, okay, because he wants the people to see. And he doesn't want to give them the opportunity to try to make more claims against him by just ignoring them, okay? Jefferson just ignored them. I mean, there's quite a few presidents who just ignored them if they gave them a hard time. And then just went forward. They did their job. Look, there is a separation of powers, okay? Judges can make all kinds of claims and hear all kinds of cases, administratively speaking, concerning people who are working for government agencies and the agency itself. But they have no power, no authority over the president and his administration. They're a separate power from that. So there's nothing really that they could do concerning that. If the president is really breaking the law, and if we didn't have parties, we'd have a Congress, and we'd have a Senate. If we didn't have the 17th Amendment, then we would have a Congress, and we would have a Senate that is not obliged to honor you know, some other entity, like foreign influences, governments, you know, special interest groups, because they get the payola from especially the special interest groups. And of course, that is what's destructive. There is nothing for them to debate other than to look in. Let's take on the legislative side. There's nothing for them to debate. What are they debating? You know, if they find a deficiency somewhere, then you can talk about it and consider it. But if you have a group of people going in and there's no party, there's no, because parties have leaders and leaders are followed, okay? So if you have a group of people, a group of individuals, and there is no party leader, and there's no two parties or three parties, you know, this party, they work around this person and this idea or this point and vice versa and so on and so forth, okay? That doesn't exist. So you actually get people who are going there to represent the people who are their constituents. What a novel idea that might be, eh? Because parties will never give you that. Because they're controlled by party leaders. They have agendas. They have things that they want to, you know, accomplish and get done that is interest to a few and not the benefit of all. So, again, people are not thinking sober-mindedly when they think, and I've heard people in Trump's administration say this, and I've heard people in all kinds of places say this, we have to have two parties, we can't have just one. No, we can't even have one party. If there's a leader, we can't have it. When they codified the committeemen, which was the original Committees of Safety, it came up from our founding fathers and really even way before them, the Committees of Safety was something that people, you know, brought together in order to accomplish, you know, conclusions and, you know, have some order about them as they create a government or to control that government. And that's what the committeemen is all about ultimately, is to really control the election process, to get people into power. To walk the necessary papers, to get them onto the ballot, and then the people come out and vote. And that, of course, is the process. But when you have a parties, okay, it's all again about the party boss. And every county, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, every county is controlled by four or five people, and those people really are controlled by a group of four or five people on the state level, and then all the states are controlled by a small group of people on the national level. And everything trickles down, and they have no interest of the people. They're not doing anything for the people. It's all about their special interest groups, the benefit of them, and so on and so forth. So, again, if you have a group of people and you don't have parties and there's no one telling you what you have to do or should do, you got to vote with us, forget all that. That doesn't exist no more. But people go into the position of being a congressman or the state, you know, the states send their senators, two for every state, and they're there to do the business of that's at hand for on behalf of one hand, the state, and on the other half, the benefit of the people. That's why the two houses were created. The balance of power was broken by the 17th Amendment, and it eliminated a lot more than people realize. Okay, they've lost their sovereignty. The states do not have sovereignty. They have no say in what the federal government does because they have no control or vote in the Senate. And Congress is the same thing with the people. We've lost any power authority because it's been taken over by party bosses ultimately and is moved about by money given by the special interest groups. And of course the conspiracy of the deep state and so on and so forth with the outside influences. And it's a mess, but it's very, very simple. You're going to send X amount of people. What's it, 430, I think it is? But let's say 430, I think that's what it is. Send 430 congressmen to Congress, and they bring up a bill, or someone brings up something that needs to be looked at and thought at, and it's all about writing law, okay, legislation, changing or correcting legislation, whatever the case may be. And so they come in, and they have no one to answer to but to themselves and their constituents. So now you have true representation. You see, people are not thinking straight when they think we can't survive without a two-party system. Well, last week, I think it was, we read some information, a paper that I put together concerning, I'm revamping that whole thing, we'll read it again in the near future, and I'm adding some stuff, taking some stuff out, trying to do it in a little bit of a different, just trying to do it a little different. And that's basically going to be the cover letter concerning the papers and the instructional or educational information that we're going to be given to these people. And but the plan ultimately that we're looking to do is to educate Trump and everyone around him concerning the common law, because I do truly believe they are totally ignorant to the common law. And think about this. Think about this. Let's say Trump gets rid of all these judges, and now there's new judges have to come be brought up to go in to see, you know, to be approved. Well, where did who brings the judges together to get them in? The Bar Association, the enemy of the people, the minions of the New World Order. See, they've already got a monopoly on our justice system. They got a monopoly on all our courts. They own us outright. They decide whether your rights are going to be given or not, because they control Congress. They control the writing of all these bills. They control what judges are going to be put up for potential choice by the Senate. Most of the people in the Senate are bar attorneys. I mean, the whole world is controlled, the whole world ultimately is controlled by bar attorneys. Definitely controlled here in the United States, but the influence really goes far beyond and outside the United States. So, major, major problem, okay? So you have all these bar judges, okay? And what are they going to bring in? Well, they're going to bring in the Rules Enabling Act. They're going to bring in that got rid of, nullified, abrogated, whatever word you want to use, the common law. We've combined law and equity together, and now people are under statutes. You're under Babylonian law. You're under the thumb of the government. And things will only get worse. So no matter what Trump does, no matter what these people do that are working hard to change this nation and to bring us back to our founding fathers' vision of what we should be as a people, is all going to be defunct eventually at some point in time if they do not correct the courts. And if they don't understand the courts, and let me tell you, it's very difficult to understand the way the courts used to or should be if you're trying to do it from scratch and trying to do research and so on and so forth. But our founding fathers have already done that. All we have to do is go back and listen to them. They've already did all the work, and then we can come to an understanding of who we are as a people, that we're a Christian nation under the law, that we have a covenant with God through the Declaration of Independence, that we have a Bill of Rights that gives us unalienable rights, come straight from God, and that that we only answer to a court of law, which ultimately is ruled by the king of the court, and the king of the court is Jesus Christ, because that's who we are. Some people may get their feathers all ruffled up over that, but that's tough. It's the way it is. Because if they only understood, this is the best way it could ever be, because we're not under the thumb of men. Because if we're not under the thumb of God, we will be under the thumb of someone, and that someone will be mankind. And the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? The Bible tells us. So you will have sociopaths, you have psychopaths, because they always seek places of power and authority, and everything's about them. And they will get into everything else, and we'll be right back from where we started from. So we're just having a little time that we'll have where things will be well. You know, maybe through our lives, and maybe through a children's life, but it'll start to crumble again, and it'll get right back from where we came from. And the only solution to that, Jefferson speaks about, only the people can do this. Only the people can take control of this nation. Only the people can save America. Only the people can run it. We have to exercise our unalienable right of government by consent. And that is what National Liberty Alliance is all about, government by consent. And we teach people how to have that government by consent through the committee man process, the committees of safety. Now, back at the turn of the century, going back into this George Washington thing that we spoke about and the law that we looked up and found in the archives, okay, you know, go back then, prior to that, okay, we had the committee men. Now, I don't know when exactly they totally codified them, but in 1909 to 1911, the big change in the law took place, and the committee man was codified. Okay, codified in a very strange way, because it really brings everything back to the party bosses who secretly choose who they want and who they don't want. And even if you get in there somehow around them, because they got to keep that facade. They got to keep that thing, that facade, looking good. And so maybe some people do creep in that they don't want. Well, we'll get rid of them eventually, because they'll just throw them out. And nobody says anything, because nobody knows any better. Because you got to keep the slaves ignorant. People don't understand how the process really works. They don't understand how common law really works. They don't know the difference between equity and law. And shame on us, to some degree. I mean, it is true, we were fed what we were fed in our schools. Education was centralized. It was being destroyed before that, but it's a lot easier if you can centralize it, and they centralized education. And so we have people that are in college that can't even tell time on a clock. They can't read a map. They can't identify the United States on a map. They don't know who George Washington is. They don't know who the first president is. They don't know. They don't know nothing. They know the difference between. They don't know anything. It's really pretty sad. And if we don't remember history, we are going to repeat it. That sort of is the law of the way things are. We're going to repeat it because it'll always go back to evil. Remember, evil will always be there, and it'll always go back to evil. So we have to do something about this. And that is what National Liberty Alliance is all about. I'm not aware of anyone out there doing anything what we're doing. If anybody knows, bring it up, let us know, because we would like to know. We need to connect with those people too and work things out. And we're not just doing political things, and we're not getting into the politics, because politics is destructive. We're just getting into the political process, okay? I don't know of anybody that's doing what we're doing on the political process, nor even understands how the political process should be. I don't know anybody who's working on the courts and understands how these things should be. You know, it took many, many years of research, and still we're coming to certain things that we're coming to epiphanies on after. You know, epiphany comes from gathering a lot of information in various subjects, and maybe a lot of things in this subject, whatever the case may be, but gathering a lot of information. And at some point, your mind kind of puts something together, and 3, 4, 5, or 6 points of knowledge comes together and meets in one place, and you have the epiphany. And that's pretty much, I think, what epiphany is. And that comes from ultimately educating yourself, from researching, studying, looking, comparing things, looking for the contradictions, looking for the harmony. Because truth is self-evident. Remember that. You will find it if you keep looking for once you see the contradictions and they're not being repaired and reconsidered to repair whatever it is that you're doing, well, you got a problem then. But when you keep seeing consistency, and occasionally, you know, a correction and more consistency, well, now you know you have truth. Truth is self-evident. So we have to take back our courts. Now, we've been working at this, and, you know, we didn't understand the plan from the beginning, where we're at today. We didn't understand exactly how we would get to where we are today, speaking of National Liberty Alliance. We didn't understand exactly what processes we would use or how things would work out. We were quite naive, especially in the beginning. Knowledge takes away naivety. And so as time goes on, you know, you grow in more knowledge and you change your thinking and you make your alterations and all that comes from research. And the research has got to be good research. We got good research, and it's proven by our footnotes. It's proven by the books that we've written. All our books is just filled with footnotes. That's documentation of where this knowledge comes from, where these statements come from, where the conclusions come from. And again, I don't know anybody else out there doing this. But this needs to be done, and it is being done, and it needs the people's support. So anybody that's out there that's not giving us $5 a month or more, you know, you really need, look, you need to support what we're doing. If you believe in what we're doing, you need to support it. If you want America and you want your courts of justice, you need to support it, because this work has got to get done. It must be accomplished. Once we win the federal courts, we can take back the state courts quite easily. And that's when I can, you know, there'll be a lot of state courts you got to take back. But I could do a special course in that for those who have gone through the court, you know, court access and the common law course. So once you understand the due process by going through that and common law, then I can train some people and some instructions on how each we can really go after our states to bring them back to the courts of justice. Our courts of justice have been closed for a long, long time. We have just facades out there. That's all we have. Just the appearance of something that looks like something that it should be, but it's not. And so what we've done over the years, and again, like I said, we didn't really know where we were going to end up or how we were going to do, but everything comes as time goes on. Okay? So in time, and I think we're very blessed from the situation that we had maintained on track as we continue to grow, become more and more knowledgeable, and having enough things in place, that's correct, to be able to move to the next step, make some changes, some thoughts, come up with different strategies, and apply them. Now, if you go under our tabs under federal court cases, particularly, and come down to action against the judiciary, okay, we'll probably click on that one, I think. Let's take a look. Okay, yeah, the action against the judiciary. This has been going on for quite some time. I mean, we started really filing papers going all the way back to 2012, I believe. What am I saying? 2012? Yeah, 2012, I think, is when we started to really start filing some papers. And you'll find a lot of that over here looking at, I think, the grand jury docket. Let's look at that. I think that'll give us more of a focus on these dates of a lot of things. Pretty much the same as the other page. Matter of fact, I think it's exactly the same as the other page. So not sure why we have two on that. Maybe because we're just looking at it from a different perspective. One, we were just having a docket. The other one, we were going after the action against the judiciary. And the action against the judiciary is what we actually reported and filed into the courts. Okay, in the sense, collectively, all of this information has been filed twice. Okay, as it went through, as time has gone through, and then, of course, when we started to go after the judiciary. And we indicted the federal judiciary. But anyway, these are papers that we have filed in the courts. And we've had little to no success. I mean, maybe we've had a couple of successes in habeas corpuses. Maybe one in a home or something, saving a home, maybe. I think we have, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. But generally speaking, they just don't want to hear us. Every line here is a paper going into the court for a purpose. Okay? So that's the cases we've been filing. And so we haven't had any wins, so what's the big deal? What is it you're doing there? What makes this anything important? It's building the case of conspiracy. Absolute, clear conspiracy. Because what they do in New York, or what they do in California, or Texas, any of these federal courts, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, it doesn't matter where you're at. They're all doing the same thing. They're working together. That proves conspiracy. Now, we were naive in the beginning as we started doing these things, thinking we'd get some successes, not understanding how evil and far out these courts really are. But, you know, we kind of come to the realization, well, this is evidence. We'll continue pushing. Maybe we'll get some successes, and we'll keep going forward. And then that brings us over to the last year or so. And if we come over to, the welcome page, okay, these are the climax of our court cases. starting off with the presentment to the United States Supreme Court. You can come up and read it. It's quite a long document. It's 155 pages. People might say, well, that's way too long. It's not really too long. It's double-spaced to begin with, so it's not as long as it appears to be. But it is a long read. But it's an education. If you want an education, read these papers, because you're going to get one heck of an education from these papers. You're going to get so much information and details that you can use in other court cases. Okay? So a tremendous amount of information. All right? But that's a paper presentment to the United States Supreme Court. Didn't go anywhere. They didn't return it. But it doesn't matter. They've been served. Then we did an addendum to the grand jury paper, you know, presentment to the United States Supreme Court. So here's the addendum. You can read through that. Okay, that's only about 10 pages. It's not a big deal. Okay, anybody taking a law course, go read these papers. Read these papers if you're taking a law course and if you're real serious about learning the law. Okay, then we did the indictment. The indictment was upon the federal judiciary, not the United States Supreme Court. They're as guilty as the rest of them to some degree, but nevertheless, we're just focusing in on the federal judiciary. And by the way, these papers went to about 30 people around Trump and Trump. And when Bondi came into the picture, we updated her with all the paperwork, and we've been copying her also. And she came in around the time we did the indictment on the federal judiciary. So she was served our indictment, and she needs to go forward and deal with that. And maybe she's going to, and if not, we're going to make sure she does. We have to, okay? But I can understand why they wouldn't move on anything like this right now. Because, again, a lot of this would be future stuff. There's so much going on, we have to have this in proper order and proper place. So there's, you know, there's strategies and so on and so forth, and we don't know all the strategies that Trump's got going. And then we did a presentment to President Trump, okay? And again, it was an extraordinary presentment. People should read through this. And again, we copied everyone that's around Trump. We really didn't get everyone in his administration yet, because at the point of a lot of these papers, his administration was not in place. But we're still sending to 30 people, and some of them have gone and become part of his administration. And then we've added those who aren't, wasn't on this list. So we made some changes. I believe we have 45 people altogether that are in Trump's administration or closely around him. We already had a lot of the people who were closely around them, and we had some good senators and congressmen that we've been copying all this stuff on. The main purpose is for education. They need to be educated. They need to understand. They need to have a different perspective, you know. So that presentment went through. Then a presentment to President Trump and an Attorney General Bondi. Okay. So again, all these papers are very, very important to read. When we file the next paper to the United States Supreme Court, it'll be found right here on the front page underneath here, and you'll be able to read it. We probably will read through it on a Monday night. And again, we have another paper that's going to be a cover letter, I guess you'd call it, two or three pages, and I'm going to read through that because I've changed the older one, and we'll see where we go with that. But this paper that's going into the United States Supreme Court is a paper that can only be heard by them. Because all of the courts, and I've been reading some stuff from different places that other people have seen, these are lawyers too, and they have seen that there's a problem. They don't know the solution or the answer, but they see the problem. And one of the things is, for instance, there are certain cases that none of the courts could hear but the United States Supreme Court. And that's a case where they have original jurisdiction. They have original jurisdiction on legislation. They have original jurisdiction very specifically on the Rules Enabling Act. So therefore, we can bypass the whole process. We don't have to go into the trial court, move up to the appellate court, and eventually work our way to the United States Supreme Court. We go directly there. We just go right there. And so that's our plan, to go directly to the United States Supreme Court. So this case, I think, is going to move very quickly. It depends on by what time, you know, what month we get into. I haven't looked at the agendas of the Supreme Court, you know, their regular scheduling. You know, they do certain things, and a new section goes up for the next set of cases, and so on and so forth. Obviously, the cases that are being heard now, and then there's a list of them, and they're probably hearing them for so many months, and I think they take a break for a little while, then they come back to the next session. We'll be getting into the next session or the session after that, which would still be lightning speed, very quick. You know, so we're talking maybe 6 months to be heard, maybe less, maybe a little more, but something like that. But we don't have to go through years of going through the court system to get this done. Nobody else is doing this. Nobody is. They do not... Lawyers do not understand common law, and lawyers around Trump, lawyers around our Congress and Senate are filled with lawyers, you know, and they make the big mistake is to not look at it, because after all, they spent $200,000 or $250,000 for their education, and they've been taught to lie. They truly believe that we are that the United States was created under Rome, like a Roman structure of Rome. That they truly believe we're under Roman law. They truly believe that common law is trial court decisions. It's called comity, comity. Okay, they truly believe these things, and we come up with something that turns their whole world upside down. Takes a whole different direction. Something they've never heard before. They never received the proper education in their younger years. So K through 12, they got just the same garbage that a lot of us got. Our education was a little better going back, further back in time. You know, going to school in the 50s and 60s was a much better education than those going through 70s and 80s. And then, you know, those are still a better education, because progressively they've just been making it worse until they only produce morons. And that's what they produce, morons. Hate to say it, but that's the truth. But we're all ignorant. And I speak to myself first. Every single one of us is ignorant and lost under this stuff and believe what we've been shoved down our throats. That we have to go before a judge and the judge is going to... I mean, what is it? We give such power to one individual to make these kind of decisions? And remember, the whole process, you know, when it comes to the original trial case in an administrative process now, we're not talking criminal, but in the administrative process, it's there, it's more of a conclusion and a probability than the actual, the real conclusion, okay? And that's why you got the appellate court, in some cases, gets to the Supreme Court. So what makes our case so much better than any other case that we know that's going to get heard by the grand, by the Supreme Court? And if not, if it is not heard by the Supreme Court, I think we have to think the unthinkable. And the unthinkable is to indict the United States Supreme Court. And if that's what we have to do, then that's what we have to do. Okay? Again, during this time period, we're educating. That's why we have to get a book to every single person around Trump. And remember, a lot of these people are lawyers. They have lawyer backgrounds. And they're surrounded by a lot of lawyers that we don't even know, you know, they give advice, advisors and stuff. So they're going to get a lot of, you know, bad reaction to this stuff. But all we need is for one of them, just one of them, to actually read the book. And they won't be able to deny what they read in the book, because it's all documented from history. It's documented of who we are as a people. And it lays out what our government should actually be and how it should be, you know, how it should be. It shouldn't be the way it is. We shouldn't have two parties. We're a republic. And we're a very special republic. We're the only common law republic. I believe there's like 256. That number jumps in my mind for some reason. I know it's a couple of hundred. Let's say 250 republics out there. Okay, well, maybe that's democracies, but there's a lot of republics too. You know, we're still up in the hundreds. So there's lots of republics out there. You know, Iran is a republic. Iraq, I think, is a republic too. China is a republic. Russia is a republic. Okay, and a republic is something that which proceeds according to the law. You know that they have a document, and that's the law. It's a constitution. They may call it something else, but it's the law. It's a republic. But we have a special republic. We're the only one with a natural law republic. A republic where the creation is not created by the mind of man, but by God, ultimately. Because we rest on law, live under the laws of nature and nature's God, and thereby request and receive the blessings of God as long as we live underneath. And the enemy has been working overtime for many, many years to destroy this whole thing. They've done one heck of a job on it. They've done a great job. And everything is done covertly and over time. You know, people forget things and they move on to the next story. And then the generation passes to another generation. And they do all this destruction in the minds of the people in the schools, little by little. I remember a lot of complaining when I was a kid about what they were doing and talking about for Columbus and, you know, discovering America. Or terrible things about George Washington. I mean, just all these little stories. They didn't really amount to much because the people were angry and upset with it. And at least that was that's what I perceived or presumed at the time, because everybody was against these crazy things. But, you know, over time, little by little, sinks in, you know. And people die, people are born, people start K, people graduate, and they keep changing the education, bringing it back. You know, again, I don't know how most schools are, but I'll tell you, and I've been following my nephew's school quite closely. My children were homeschooled, but I followed my nephew's school, he never brought a book home. Didn't have no textbooks. Everything was done in printouts, or they printed it off and gave it to them to come home. So you couldn't sit down and read through the child's textbook to see what they're teaching the kids, because they don't want you to know. And certain things they probably wouldn't even send home in homework or anything, because they're just going to teach it in school because they don't want you to know. And we became very comfortable, but very busy. Used to be one person would, take care of the abilities financially of a home and a family, and then the need for two people working, keeping us busy, you know, raising the inflation, getting rid of gold and silver, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. But in any event, we have to take back our courts. If we don't get back our courts of justice, you have no rights. You go to court, you have civil rights. And civil rights means, well, we're going to give it to you. Maybe you don't deserve it. Maybe we don't like you. We're not going to give it to you. That's what they're doing right now. They don't obey the law. They don't even obey their own laws. When you start to realize their law, you know, because they run by rules, okay? When you start to understand how they operate and you start to use their stuff against them, they don't even obey that, because they do what they want to do. Look at these judges, what they're doing to Trump. I mean, it's total insanity. Total insanity. And the people behind this are just evil or just morons. And I think this is most of them are morons. They're called useful idiots. And they get up there and they just complain and yell and scream, and they don't even know what they're yelling and screaming about. But in any event, problems. So, we have to get our courts of justice back, and that is what we're trying to do. And we need the support of the people in order to do that. So right now, we need another, let me see. I don't even think I wrote a note on this, did I? But I did. I think we were looking for $3,000. We've collected $1,225, so we're looking for about another $1,500. And I'm not asking the people who've been given to give again. It's not fair that other people, these people have to bear the burden. You know, there's only a small amount of beaten really that have been bearing the burden of keeping NLA alive. We do get a lot of people giving 5, 10, 20 bucks, some a little more. But then we've got people who give a couple of $100 a month, okay? We have at least one individual, maybe a couple. I know one, I can think of offhand, That'll give me $1,000 from time to time, or $3,000 or $2,500. Yeah, I may come every 3, 4, 6 months or something, but occasionally. And believe me, that pumps us up to be able to really, you know, keep ahead of the game, ahead of the bills, because there's a lot of bills to be paid to keep the lights on. But again, we're supported by a small group of people. You know, if everybody gave $5 a month or more, we'd have so much money we'd have to go professional. And that is really our focus, to go professional. But that's only going to be when we get someone with deep pockets who's going to support us, or we actually get the people to respond, who's listening to what we're saying and talking about and realizing, well, okay, let's support this movement. This is important. Yeah, I got a lot of bills, but I can afford $5 a month, or I can afford $20 a month. I could do that. You know, people need to do that. You know, this is what's more important than this. You know, I look to see all the money other people collect for all kinds of different things, political things, people giving money to politicians and everything. And then they don't give the money to the places where it really belongs to be given. This is the people's business. We need to take control. We need to build our committees of safety so that we can get true people in there that are really statesmen and not politicians. Getting rich off the whole thing, because these people are getting filthy rich. They go in there dirt poor. They come out multi-millionaires because they cheat, especially with the stocks. They know what's going to go on. They know what's happening, you know, that decisions are being made, laws are coming out, whatever the case may be, and they know beforehand. And when they know when it's going to go through, the week or two earlier, I just heard about this with Nancy Pelosi. I mean, they're really exposing a lot of stuff on her. And, you know, a week or 2 weeks before, you know, the family and she would go in and put $1 million here or $3 million there, and they come out with $20 million in 2, 3 weeks because the stock market goes crazy and the prices go up, and you know, and that's against the law. You know what the penalty is? And I don't know if this is true, but this is what I just heard. You know what the penalty is if they get caught? If you get caught, let's say you got $1 million, and you know that there's some act going to make a change and it's going to really pump the market, and particularly certain things maybe, and you put that $1 million into that stock 2 weeks before that information is released, and then it pops up and you make $10 million out of it, let's say. And if you get caught, you know what the penalty is? And again, I'm not sure this is absolute truth, but I'm kind of leaning towards it is $200. So I think it's worth, the crime is worth it, isn't it? $200. They don't even make you give the money back as a penalty or something, put it into the kitty of, you know, for the people. $200. And how do they get away with this? They get away with this because we're not paying attention, because we're ignorant and we don't know. They're getting away with destroying our Constitution because we're ignorant to the law. We don't know. They get away with denying our rights because we don't understand them. They get away with all these things all because of ignorance. Now, to some degree, it's really not our fault because, again, we're being fed, you know, the education we're given. We've been fed, you know, through, you know, entertainment, music, videos, you know, all kinds of different things that supported the news. You know, so they cover all that. They got your mind. And until you come out of that matrix, you know, I mean, they create who you are. At least as you understand this, the political system and the judicial system. After all, you know, if you have a situation and you got to go to court, you need to go get yourself a lawyer, you know. And if you have a situation and in the political process, you're not sure, you follow the party, you know. If you have a spiritual problem, you go see a priest or some preacher or somebody, you know. We're always going to someone else with the important stuff. This is who we are. This is what makes us who we are, to create and hold and control, to have government by consent. Those are the three things you need to be taking care of yourself and not depending upon others, because they're lying to you. They're all lying to you. And we're living in a fantasy world. It's all fiction. We're lost. We're destroying ourselves. I've been preaching for a long, long time. People have been telling me I'm crazy. When you give your money, you go up and pay that IRS, and you give your money you're just paying for the destruction of your country. You're paying money to people who are just going to destroy us. And we're being destroyed economically. We're being destroyed morally. We're being destroyed politically, judicially. We're being totally destroyed because we're not paying attention. And we're being taught to just tweet. And AI's on the back burner now, and when that comes, it's total destruction altogether. Because people are going to become so dependent on AI, they'll have their little robot at some point, right them, and they have a situation, a problem, they'll take care of it. Children will have it to access, and you know, they got to write a book report, they'll have their buddy AI take care of that. Everything will be AI. I want to write a book. I want to write a book on law. AI is going to write it for me. People aren't even going to write books on it. It's what a destruction. You want to talk about going to hell? I think we're creating it for ourselves. Maybe God has given us the opportunity for this world to create its hell. Maybe that's where we're headed. I have no idea. I'm not saying that that's the case. But I wonder, you know. Anyway, we have to get our courts of justice back. If we fail to do that, we'll just be back right here again. Doesn't matter anything, because we'll always have sociopaths, we'll always have psychopaths. The hearts of men are desperately wicked. These people are going to gain power. They're going to get up to the high places, because that's what they do. They'll take control. They'll form a conspiracy, make a plan, work together, and start working it right back to where it was, start to making us ignorant, remove education, giving us, you know, generations away. Hey, it's time to get back to centralizing education again. You see, if the people are in their committees of safety, and they're taking care of their political business, their judicial business, and taking care of all the problems within their neighborhood, which is your duty to do, and it's our duty to teach our children, it's their duty to do, you're born in a free land, with a constitution second to none, under natural law, under God's law, and we will prosper under that, living and teaching our children to live moral lives. They can't take over a nation that does that. It's an impossibility. But we've never achieved that completeness. And the question comes to you, do you want to? And that means you have to give up some time. Stop your tweeting and start reading. You know, look at smartphones is another destruction. It's control. It's going to control you. You know, and already does. I see people all day long. It drives me crazy. Wherever I go, you sit down. People don't talk to each other no more. Every one of them sitting at a table, you think, you know, well, and I've mentioned this before, you know, like I've seen this in Dunkin' Donuts. You know, you're going to Dunkin' Donuts, used to be a place people meet. I remember years ago, I mean, I used to meet with other contractors and different things, and getting conversations going. We didn't have no smartphones or anything. We actually talked to each other. And you know, you get a lot of help from people who have been where you're trying to get to, you know, in your business, whatever it is. But anyway, you know, you walk into Dunkin' Donuts, it used to be, and they have these tables in there, and at least the one here that it does, and you get to sit down, have a coffee and a donut maybe, and have some conversation. Not anymore. 5 or 6, 7, 8 people at this big table, and not one of them are looking at each other. They're all looking down at their silly smartphones. They can do that when they leave. They can do that when they go home. They can do that. They're right there where they can talk. Why don't they talk? Because they're conditioning us, okay? More problems, you know? I'm trying to think who it was. Could be, you know, it might have been Kennedy. He may have some influence on this, or pushing towards someone with the education. I know we have an education person, because they're getting rid of the education on the federal level and pushing it back into the states, and there's someone for that purpose. But someone had brought up something that they're pushing through in Trump's administration, where in the schools, pushing that children should not have smartphones in school, okay? They should not go to school with phones. And I've been talking about this for quite some time. And that's something that may be on the horizon and may push through. But the people, you know, it's up to us to really push that through. Your committee of safety can make that happen by going to the school board. Just what we the people want. And we teach people on how we can get and require these people to do what you want them to do. You know, people go and complain and moan and all this stuff, but they don't know what to do. Okay? So I understand they're complaining, but here's an opportunity for those that are in the hearing. We can be the doing. We can fix these problems. We can fix a lot of these problems. We can fix all. We can't fix AI. That genie's out of the bottle, and I do believe it's going to be the destruction of mankind. That's what I do believe. But, you know, hopefully I'm wrong. But I don't think so. Anyway, support NLA if you can. $5 a month or more. And for sure, try to give anybody who hasn't given something a little extra to really deal with this paper that we're doing and putting in, you know, a few bucks, $5, $10, whatever, $20, you know, help support us. As again, we need another $1,500, but we do have enough to go forward. We're going forward. Hook, line, or sinking, this is going to get done. Even if I don't receive the money from others, I'll eventually dig into my pocket here, a little here. It may just take a little longer, but we'll get it done. One way or the other. But it sure could use help. Many hands make light work. Okay, enough of my ranting, I guess. Let's see if we got anybody in the queue. We have a couple people in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? It's a *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an Apple browser, you just push the button there to enter into the queue. We'll take our first caller. It is Jan from WI. Let me think what WI is. Wisconsin, right? Dan from Wisconsin, you got the mic. I've unmuted you on this end. Maybe you're muted on your end. We lost Jan, so we'll go to Mark. We only got one person in the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue, now is the time. Okay, and I got to check something out. Hang on a second. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I did have that recorded. Okay, Mark, let me press the button for you. You got the mic. Go right ahead. What state you're from, Mark? And again, if anybody else wants to get into the queue, there's no one in there. Mark? Okay, Mark, you got a problem with your... voice, you're coming in sounding like Donald Duck. Try it again. You got to reboot. I don't know if you have to reboot your whole computer, but you definitely got to reboot at least the start, you know, the start meeting you're coming in on, because you're coming in like Donald Duck. Sound very strange. So reboot, come back in. Okay, Jan's back here. So let's take Jan from Wisconsin, it looks like. You got the mic, Jan from Wisconsin.
Thank you so much. You can hear me now, right?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay. Well, hello, New York. And I've been with you since the opening overture of your music, and not just tonight, but I've been trying to get on Monday night. If I miss it live, then I listen. I stumbled on you, I guess, National Liberty Alliance. It's a blur. 7-8 months ago. I will send money tomorrow. I wish I was rich, because I would have money for this. I would prioritize this. It's heroic what you're doing. And it's not easy to be the guy on the mic holding forth for an hour with solid proof and hope so I want to help. And I'll begin by not saying the check's in the mail, but tomorrow it is. This feels self-interested. Sometimes when I listen, I hear people talk very specifically about their encounters in the court and the lack of a common law court. And you guide them on a process. And you probably wish that they were reading more material on this FAST website and taking more courses. I aim to study common law now. I got really heavily involved in the Republic for the United States and there's a lot of different groups and people that are doing that, but one in particular I was involved with, and I really poured myself into it. They're good people, also well-intentioned, but lacking common law understanding on a really practical level feels more – it feels – well, I pulled away from it. I needed to pull away from it because you got to choose, right? There has to be enough time in the day to actually give yourself to something. So, what am I driving at?
Well, I really do appreciate all that. And you know, our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. And if we don't know what our heritage is all about, you don't really know what your liberty is all about. You have liberty in the courts to be in a court of law and not be in a court of equity, which is legislative law being judged by men. We need to be judged by God. And people, you know, the 12 individuals that make up the jury, you know,
are peers.
All likelihood, they're going to get the right answer. I mean, occasionally they get wrong, but I think it's very rare. And if they can't really figure it out, then they let the person go, and that's that. And then that's the way it's got to be. Better that, you know, a guilty man go free than an innocent man be imprisoned and destroyed, you know? But back to you.
I watched 12 Angry Men with my son this past summer. And that hot scene, I don't know if you know the black and white movie I'm talking about.
Yes, the original one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and
I think the 60s or the 50s. I think it was the 60s or maybe 50s. I don't remember.
Yeah, Henry Fonda.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes from one guy saying, wait a minute, you know, there's got to be more to this, to all 12 of them eventually buckling and vindicating the guy, and it justly. So it's the self-evident piece that, to me, is the opening, okay? Because when people don't have the language to discuss what they want with their family or on their school board, or the openings are kind of locked by, I don't know, what maybe you'd call committee bosses or people that have been in government service for so long, they're fixtures, and they know the ropes. And so in 1999, my husband and I were confronted with the drug war, okay? And so in a county adjacent to ours, a man was a victim of a no-knock raid with the assumption that he had cannabis, and he was holding a TV remote, and in the fury of the bang down the door and come in, the TV remote was assumed to be a gun. The guy got shot and killed. And so we were aware of that because it was local. And I went to the Fourth Amendment. I went to my high school history book. And, you know, both of us were like, well, we don't know the words to this. And we ought to know the words to this. And so I had been at an engineering career and a management consulting career, and I finally got out of it. Last stop Manhattan, and you know, found my way back to the Midwest, and I'm a musician. I don't get paid to be a musician, but that's kind of one of the things I can do. A piano player. I don't compose, but this Fourth Amendment came to music because we grew up on Schoolhouse Rock, and when you sing a song, you can remember the words, right? And so lyric now, I don't have to even think about it. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, places, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. I'm getting all frantic about it. You get the idea. Once you've got a song, or at least for some people, it's a mnemonic. And when you can draw on that and not have to fuss with your papers or have your train of thought stumble, and then you get that window of trying to reach somebody, and they just go off and stop paying attention. You're good at it, right? I mean, you've honed this. How long have you been doing NLA? 20
goodness.
Years?
Trying to think. Let's see. We started this kind of a situation building up that came National Liberty Alliance, I think 2008, 2009. So right. That's when we started this. But I've been a speaker for many, many decades. So.
Okay. Well, that shows. But you know what I mean. When we're just people among out and about, if you hesitate or you seem to lose your train of thought and can't convey the fullness of what you're trying to share, it peters out. Mm-hmm. And so, okay.
Knowledge, it's important that everyone get the basic knowledge, and they don't necessarily have to be able to articulate it, but they get enough knowledge, enough sticks in the brain, in your framework, and you're able to make good decisions and do what you have to do in life. And anybody who wants to be able to articulate it to the point where it just kind of falls out of your mouth, then you got to spend a lot of time. It's like going to college, to really go into serious school, and where you spend, maybe 4 to 6 hours in a classroom, but then you spend the next 12 hours or so studying, reading, and putting things together, and then start the next day again, and your next stuff, and so on.
Yeah.
And, so that makes you good, of course. So the more time you spend and the more benefit you'll have, the more ability to articulate what you have to say, and it kind of falls out of your mouth,
Well, spoken like a true writer and teacher, and that shows. You've given yourself to it. So I want to give myself to it, not just learning the Bill of Rights 1 through 10 by heart and trying to get people to sing them. That has been a failed project, but I'm not really giving up on it.
That's a good way to teach children. If you have information on that, look, I'm trying to get some money to support the ability of writing books, school books. I mean, I've written 14 books now, and we have another author who has spent a lot of time with us, Brent Allen Winters. He's an author. He's got quite a few books out there, too, and he studied very heavily on the common law. And I talked with him quite some time ago. If we can get some funding, maybe we could take our books and turn them into textbooks for the schools, and there's other places, we can go to the NCCS, and they've got some really great books, and I'd like to, and they've also got some curriculum for some certain levels of school, but I'd like to connect with them and maybe turn some of their books into textbooks or ask them to do it, and then we create a real serious education, starting in K, working all the way to 12, and by the time they get from K to 12 with the proper education, they'd have college level education. Our children have been suppressed. They want them there for 12 years so that they can indoctrinate them, not for them to teach them anything, really.
Yep.
Just want to indoctrinate them.
Well, but they'd be running circles around us because it would truly be a common sense reality for them. It makes sense. The more you read it, the more you get it. Now, there's all of these branches of, like, changing your status and maritime law and the love of money is the root of all evil and the fiat currency. I mean, there's just so many fronts. And what you're working on has this purity that is the common law. And yet here we are in a world where the courts don't even acknowledge that. So come May 2020, our boy graduates from high school. We homeschooled him on the front end, and then he went into the public school system. And his wonderful graduation party bonfire. The next morning, my husband returns to a rural property that we have where he does his blacksmithing. And he comes upon a burglary in process. And he can see this because his bobcat has been moved, and it's loaded with his beautiful tools. I mean, the guy has his trade is tools and knowledge. They're not moving anvils, but they're taking all of the really nice power tools, and they've gone into the house and ransacking it. And he is a firearm aficionado, someone who collects and respects, used his own claw hammer at the anvil to pry open the gun safe. And basically what went down is they left and he laid in wait for them and called them out, shot a round into the ground, and it became very obvious to them that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he apprehended them. Now, one the guy got away and the gal didn't, and they were meth addicts, and they were local, and they had been in and out of the county system of hand slaps and never really seeming to get anywhere. And so we went, and so then COVID happens, right? Because this all happened in May 20. And then 2021 went by with video conferencing, which we didn't have. So we weren't participating in that. And eventually worked our way to almost a freak, I won't call it an accident, a stroke of grace, where the county judge, referred the case to a court commissioner. And the two were found. One had felonies on his record, and had been the guy had been troubled for, I don't know, since he was 17. He was in his early to mid 30s by this point. It's just been in and out and in and out. The gal, an accomplice, also troubled, but no felonies. And so I won't go into the guy, but the gal, because they appeared separately, appeared at the restitution hearing unrepresented. Not by her choice, but just by an administrative flub up, there had been a pass off of her from one to another lawyer, and the lawyer didn't show. And she proceeded to not object, and the restitution went forward at a level that is unprecedented, at least by the probation officers that we've talked to. We were granted a $58,000 restitution. And everybody we've talked to said, "Wow, I've never seen such a big restitution." He wrote a victim statement that was like winning. You know, I mean, he really truly described what had happened. He could have shot them just in, you know, locked and loaded and confronted with these people rooting through your home. And we're not rich, but we have, you know, we don't have a lot of money, but we have some treasures, you know, and it was. So we've got this restitution, but of course it's coming at a trickle. So if we live for another 230 years, we'll get that $56,000. But we obviously that's not going to happen. And so they both serve their probation now, and she wants to transfer to Florida. And the probation officer knows that she doesn't deserve a Florida transfer, but she's a single mom. She's not going to come up with more than about $400 a year. It's sort of just a fantasy restitution.
Yeah. Well, restitution is what the eye of the jury should be on, and they're not taught that. Again, we need a free and independent jury, and they need to, with an eye on restitution, not an eye on putting people in jail. Jail is not the answer all the time. Occasionally, of course, it is, but it's not the answer. The answer is restitution and trying to get this person that, when you have a common law process and everything goes right, and you have restitution and you have certain requirements that the person who did the injury and, was the criminal in this thing, you know, there's sort of an eye on trying to restore that person through the process of restitution, you know, so that possibility is there. But that's, and I, it's very, I don't think I've ever heard of any court really giving restitution in a criminal case. I mean, that is just so rare, but that's what you see in every case.
Well,
trying to bring you to a close down because we get
three. I get it. I'll come back next week or so, or I'll just keep listening. Thanks for your time.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Carry on.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take Frosini. You're next from New York. You got the mic.
I can't follow that.
But you're still far away. You come and start and always far away from your mic. Got to get close to the mic.
All right. Well, I said I can't follow.
Yeah, but you're coming in very low again. Can you raise your mic somehow?
No, I can't. Just, that's okay. Just pass.
All right, we'll just try to get closer and speak louder so that it comes through the recording anyway.
Like my face in front of it.
Oh, you know what you should do? You have a plug-in mic or just talking through the mic on your laptop?
Just talking through the mic on the laptop.
Yeah, you should get a plug-in. It'll disconnect the one on the laptop. But, you know, you can get a cheap headset. Works very well. I find that the cheap headsets seem to work the best anyway. You know, you spend $20 for a headset with a mic on it, and it works pretty darn good. But you can also just, right now, I'm just talking on a regular mic that's sitting in front of me, you know, that I plug into my computer. So maybe for next time you can try to get a mic.
All right.
But go ahead.
Well, if you can hear me, I mean, I had really two very basic questions. first of all, you know, I watch And We Know on Rumble.
I do too, yep.
Yeah, and they often...
I really like that guy. He runs a nice program, and he's entertaining at the same time, and it's very good. And he's very informative, but go ahead.
Yeah, but anyway, he often references the Q board and deltas. I understand delta.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find the Q board?
Well, I've never looked for it. Well, I might have tried to find it a while back, but I don't know. I've never really looked hard for it, so I don't know. I don't know if anybody else in here knows how to find the cue board.
I'd like to know. I mean, I feel I'm almost a little embarrassed asking because it's such a staple, it seems.
Yes. Well, you know, you if you start to search it out as far as you know, going to your search bar and look for, you know, all of the material that went onto the Q, because Q is no longer speaking, at least not that I know of. I haven't heard anything coming out of Q. And the whole thing was, you know, future will prove past. So everything Q was saying, they were talking really about the future. And that's what these people are bringing up, what Q had said back in this year or that year. You know, I think Q started in 2018 or about. And, you know, and they only went for a couple of years, so whatever was going on, then people were trying to figure out what that should be happening now, but was really talking about today.
Well,
and that's pretty amazing when you think about that.
He was, I'm guessing, well, I'm not, I'm just repeating what I'd heard, that he was someone like in the military? Or?
The guy that, I'm trying to think of his name, on yeah, I heard that too, yeah.
And they're no, and whoever it is or whatever group, they're no longer posting?
Oh, you're talking about Q being in the military. Q is military intelligence.
Q is military intelligence, and they're
not... It's not one person. It's many people.
Okay, and yes, LT, And We Know, was military, I believe.
Yeah, And We Know, yes. I do think he mentioned he was in the military also.
Yes, but okay. All right. Well, any idea why Q, the military, whoever are behind or were behind Q, that they don't post anymore?
Because they're finished saying what they had to say. Everything we need to know is in there already.
Okay.
All right. Okay. The amazing thing about that whole thing is they did this years ago, putting all this information out. And people were looking for that to come to be, and that's why a lot of people felt, well, you know, it's not really happening or whatever. Some things appeared to be happening, but really the whole thing was about now, you know, what's going on now. Because, again, every once in a while, Q would say future will prove past. In other words, what they're saying in the past is going to be really has everything to do with what's happening in the future. So when you think about that, this is a well-planned-out plan that they should have... It's amazing that they can speak about these things and it's happening the way they say. You know, it just blows your mind.
It is fascinating, yeah. All right, and my second question is, I don't know who I was listening about. It was whatever politician, and they, you know, in talking about them, they said, well, you know, he first whatever, I don't know if it was Congress or whatever political position, was back in like the 19-whatevers. And I mean, literally decades, and I just don't understand how the rules seem, you know, even the Constitution seems to have allowed representatives or whatever, to be able to be indefinitely, seemingly indefinitely for life.
Well, you see, here's the thing, and I do appreciate what you're saying, because you kind of think, well, maybe they should have put something in there to limit the terms, but the thing is this, if the people were active, and remember, we don't have government by the majority, we have government by the majority that participates. So if you get 100, 200 people in a county participating, and I think if you build a proper committee of safety and they're doing the proper things and following the plan we have, you can eventually very easily get into the thousands. And the more people, then the more work you can do, the more control you have, the more monitoring you could do, and many hands make light work, you know. So with that in mind, you know, if people were doing what they should be doing, and that is... exercising their unalienable right of government by consent, and let me say it again, you exercise that right through committees of safety. You know, no man is an island. One person can't do it. You have to work together. Then we would have total control on that, and we would have the control of limiting how long they're going to be in office. But the thing is that these people really need to be statesmen. They need to be really following the authorities we gave them and not overstepping their authorities. And if the people were educating themselves well, and we educate our children well, then we'll know when they're overstepping their authorities, because we know what their authorities are. And then we can say, well, we're just not going to walk the papers for them next time. And that's that. They don't get back in. So, you know, maybe it's up to the people to limit it. At least that's maybe what our founding fathers were thinking. I don't know, because, you know, it's a problem with people. It's a lifetime of service, and they're not serving us, they're serving themselves.
Yes, but it's written in that the president, the position of president, would not exceed 2 terms.
But that was an amendment later, yes. That wasn't for the founding fathers didn't put that together.
I thought George Washington even.
No, George Washington just did an example, and it was followed for quite some time until Roosevelt, and I think it was around Roosevelt's time is when they put the amendment in there.
Oh, really? Before or after he had a fourth?
Well, that would be before, after, I'm sure. You know, I'm not sure exactly when, but around his lifetime, anyway. Yes. It could have been in his last, or it could have been after he died. He died in office, so.
Yes, I know. That's why I'm saying. He couldn't have been the one that instituted that then. Because
he didn't institute. It was instituted because of him.
Okay. All right. Well, again, that was the will of the people, though. They voted him in.
That's right. That's right. Well, again, you know, who knows whether they really voted him in or not? Who knows how long that they've been really fixing this problem? Look, just think about it. The Democrats, particularly, they get elected generally but just by a few cities on the East Coast and some on the West Coast. I mean, basically, they go for the population and the high numbers, and that's why a lot of times they'll win the popular vote, but they may not necessarily, you know, win the vote. The electoral, yeah. So, you know, again, you know, and these morons, you know, again, these are just ignorant people. When they go up there to make an argument and a complaint saying, hey, we got to get rid of, well, the people who are really pushing this are the people who want to get rid of it anyway. They want to get rid of the electoral vote, and they say, we should go to the popular vote. Well, they have an agenda for that. And the people who are following behind them that have no clue that think, well, yeah, that's what we should do. But they haven't gone to look to see why we elect our president the way we elected.
Right.
We elect him this way so that other states aren't left out because, again, you know, you could take control of a few cities in a few states here and there and be able to get elected every time, popular vote. And they do a lot of cheating in these cities, of course, and so on.
Well, you know, as far as the terms, I don't know why it was never presented that no politician. In other words, if the logic is that no, the president or otherwise shouldn't be there for too long because it ends up dominating, I don't know why that wasn't applied to literally decades of all these other people. You know, they complain about people outliving the way Social Security was intended. I heard that originally when Social Security was created, you know, the program, they made it 65 because the life expectancy was 63. Now it's like, you know, 103 in some people, and has largely unchanged, and that's what's part of the problem. But again, these politicians that live, you know, till 90 and they stay there, carded in, like what her name was, practically comatose. And no one is saying, you know, the same logic that applies to the presidency should apply to everything else for the same reasons.
Yeah, well, again, it's something that we should look at maybe later, not right away, because it's not a good time to think about this because you don't want to open up trying to get some kind of a constitutional change in here. But also it could be left to the people. Look, let's get back to this. If the people do their job, and that is do their duty, let's not call it a job, do their duty, by participating with their committees of safety, exercise, and that's how you exercise your right of unalienable right of government by consent, then we wouldn't have any of these problems. And again, when you get rid of parties, and you got some really bad individual gets in there, they're only one person. They're not connected to a whole group of people, okay? It's not like there's a party boss pushing this agenda that this one person, that doesn't exist anymore if you get rid of parties. That's the beauty of getting rid of parties. And people that think that we have to have this two-party system, we got to have that balance. There's no balance necessary for anything. We need the people to go in and represent their constituents. It's that simple. And then and learn and understand their powers and authorities that they've been given by the people, and not step outside of them. And
well, you said earlier too that, you know, and I don't know how to escape this, but I was listening to Will Cow on Sirius XM this afternoon, and he had someone, I think his name was Horace Cooper, and he was saying that he. It feels it's unfortunate that we don't have a stronger Democratic Party. He's a Republican, of course, not because he believes in what they say, but because it's good for the country or, you know, the people to have good competition because it hones each
other. But what's the competition necessary for? Look, at the only reason why Trump is getting more and more popular. Of course, you know, a lot of the bad things they've done to him, that makes him more popular. It brings the populace to him. But the thing is the people are satisfied once they really start paying attention and listening. And why? Because he's trying to reinstate the Constitution. So that is the ruler we use for all of our representatives. And again, if you got one person bringing in some bad legislation and there are no party bosses pushing that agenda, then it's not going to go anywhere, you see?
It's just a waste of time, I think.
What's that?
You know, the idea that, oh, we'd be better, we would be better people, better politicians, better this, better that, if we had durable, quality competition, it would hone.
Yeah, that's all. That's just a story that people are talking about. Look, go listen to Washington. Go read Washington's farewell address. He explains it all perfectly, you know, perfectly. So, but listen, you only got another minute because we've got three other people who are starting to run late, so.
Bye-bye.
You want it? You done?
Yeah, I'm done. Bye.
Hey, thank you. All right. I'm going to push Mark ahead here because he was in before and fell out. Let me move over first, hit the next question. Jay, you've been unmuted, but hang on a minute. Let me pull Mark in here first because he fell out and came back in. So, Mark, you got the mic.
Is that better? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. What state are you from, Mark?
Indiana.
Mark from Indiana. What do you got?
Last week I mentioned about our county wants to put in a sewer district.
Right. We spoke. I remember. Yep.
Have you heard of a at our CCS meeting last week? One of the veterans there mentioned that as a some sort of remedy or a solution could be. Have you heard of what's called a congressional complaint?
Yeah, but first you should go look for the environmental study, because if that doesn't exist, you're shutting them right down. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts they haven't done that, because that costs a lot of money for a project of that type. And they will try to get past that. And what they'll do is they're really selling an idea to those people who will give them the power to go forward, i.e. legislators or whoever it is that makes the decision. Maybe there's, you know, giving some money, you know, and that happens all the time. You know, they have a name for it, but I call it a crime. And it's really, you know, just paying someone off to do something. But in any event, there's a benefit for the town also, because now they're going to be able to make more money, and they may be able to sell that idea, and everybody's ignoring the fact that they need an environmental study before they can do so, which is going to go to millions of dollars, and you can shut them down that way. That's where we'd start. But if they start pursuing the environmental study, well, that environmental study should also have two sides to it. What's it look like if we do this, and what's it look like if we do nothing? Okay? And so they'll, again, it may just bite them in the rear, so to speak. But then also gives you more time to investigate, and if they push forward and you think they're going to be fugazi about it, then you can prepare to go in to do something like you just said.
Okay. Okay, my next question is on this regional sewer district that our county went to the state to create. I wanted to know if it was an elected board or a not appointed board, and I found out it is an appointed board. And our commissioners appointed 5 of the members. Our council appointed 1 of the members, and the mayor appointed another member. That's how they set it up, the 7-member board of the county regional sewer district. Now, all those are appointed.
So all of these people are appointed but not elected, and no elected individuals are involved in this?
Yes, there's no elected. The elected people appointed the board that's doing this.
I understand how that works, but I'm just saying, but as far as, well, the board, but the decisions have to really be made by those who are elected, not by the board that was appointed.
Well,
and that's final decision making, and maybe they're trying to, you know, maybe there is something fugazi going on, but they don't want their fingerprints into it, so they're getting the next step down to do it for them. And, you know, who knows what's going on, because there's so much corruption going on in our nation. I never dreamed that our nation would be as corrupt as it is. You know?
Well, I wanted to know if these unelected appointed board members took an oath, and they did not.
Well, yeah, they should, because they're appointed to a certain position by an elected individual, so therefore an oath is required, I believe. And definitely an elected individual. But, yeah, I believe an appointed individual is also required to take an oath. So,
well,
again, you can go looking for their oaths. But look at, you know, do some good research, particularly on the environmental studies. I'll bet you, you go down and you look at the plan. There must be a plan somewhere. And look between the, probably down in the records, okay, in the county building in the records, you'll probably find the plans or all the information you want down there. And you can go through the maps and see all the construction maps and everything, but in there should also be the environmental study. And if you don't find it, you know, you got to go ask them, hey, where's the environmental study? Oh, there is none. Well, there you go. You're shutting them down right then and there.
Okay. Well, back to the board again. I called the recorder's office. Then they took me to the clerk's office, and the clerk gave me to the recorder's office. And the recorder sent me an email, and she says, as I have stated during our phone conversation, the regional sewer district is outside of county government. How can that be?
Well, is it a different county or something?
Nope.
Look at wherever the plan is. Okay, and it should be in the records. Okay, it should be in the record department or the planning board department. Actually, the planning board. Because I know when I used to go pick up prints on different projects I might want to bid or something, you go to the planning board, which is really where the building inspector is at usually. And in there will be all the documentations and the necessary prints in order to the construction prints and everything you need. And if there's an environmental impact study, it should make note of it. It may not necessarily be with that paperwork, but it should make note of it. And it probably should be indexed, I would imagine. I don't know. You figure to get an index number, and you'd be able to go down to the records and look it up. Or maybe it is in that office because it hasn't been constructed yet or done yet, so it probably sticks with that until later time comes, and then it's put into the regular, you know, as far as putting it into the record. Just search out. Find out where it's at.
Well,
and if
yes.
You're going to shut it down right then and there.
Okay, and then one more on that area is I went to our county government's website to search for who is on this sewer district board, and it's not there. It's on the company that they've hired to put in the sewer district. It's on.
Why don't you do this first? Get some more information, the details you're talking about. Get some real good detailed information on that. Also, see about searching out the environmental study. And then let's bring back up, get in early into the mic because it's running late and there's other people here. But get early on the mic so we can discuss it further. I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
Okay. One more thing and I'll be done. I ran across a website, an educational website called Thomas Jefferson Ed, edtd.org. I don't know if you've heard of it or not. But
it's again, Thomas Jefferson, T-E-D?
TJED.org. I knew a lot about it. What was the question?
Say it again. I didn't get that. I want to go look at that site.
Tango Echo Juliet Delta. TJED.org. It was okay.
Oh, so T. Thomas Jefferson isn't put out. It's Thomas, right. TJ for Thomas Jefferson, ED for education.org. Okay, right. Y'all take a look at that. Maybe we'll talk about that next week, too.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Jay, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yeah, a couple things. I just got a couple comments.
Sure, go right ahead.
The woman that was just on talking about Trump, you know, being in office for how many years? Think of all of the young Trumps that are coming in the background. There's Eric Trump, there's Laura Trump, and then there's Barron Trump. We could have Trumps in the White House for 28 years if they keep their promise to the American people and keep working for humanity.
Well, that's interesting. But there are a lot of great people working around Trump, a lot of them. And I can think of a few of them I would vote for as president. I'm listening very carefully to what they're saying. They're right on mark. They seem righteous and just. They seem to be determined. They seem to be constitutional, to the best of their knowledge, at least. And I'm really impressed with the group of people that he has chosen. So I'm really, really impressed.
So the other woman who was from Pennsylvania, or from Wisconsin.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Jay. Why are you still coming in with NC?
I haven't changed it.
No,
well, my phone's still.
Shame on you, shame on you. But go ahead.
My phone's still from NC. I still got my NC number.
There you go. Okay.
The woman from Wisconsin, she was talking about how, you know, when she put that into song, she got it. Well, I don't know how long she's been with this, but I just wanted to point out that there's under the Constitution tab on the website, there's a couple eight-hour courses on the Constitution, you know, and you can read the Constitution in 20 minutes, but when you take an eight-hour course on it, you get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Carl Miller, and then there's Michael Bettinerick, and both of those are on the website.
Right, we had all them people, yep.
You know, I don't know how long she's been with us. But why I got on the call was I was at dinner and scrolling through Facebook, and I saw this thing somebody posted about the Pope's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And there were upside-down crosses everywhere.
Really? Wow.
Everywhere.
Is there an AI or someone doing something crazy?
I don't know. I haven't had time to really look into it, but...
I tell you, there's a lot of stuff I'm seeing on YouTube now, and I know that some of it is not real, and and they use an AI to create things to make it look real, and it's starting to cause a lot of problems. And I know with Rumble, if you go on Rumble and you upload videos on Rumble, they ask you if you used AI, and they ask you if you're making someone do something that they didn't actually do. And you have to answer those questions, which I presume... If it's a positive on those, then they put it up that this is not real. Probably imprints of something there. But YouTube doesn't have that question. No,
well,
they don't.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody watched the funeral, or I don't know if anybody got footage of the funeral, but there were upside-down crosses underneath the stage where he was laying, and there were these guys in these black robes, and all the black robes had upside-down crosses on the back of them. And
wow.
Just upside-down crosses everywhere. And mm-hmm. It was like, oh, my God, this is what we're dealing with. I mean, this is what we're fighting here, you know.
Well, absolutely. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in the high places. And that's just not in the churches, but it is in the churches, of course. But it's also in our political powers. It's the New World Order out there. They're just outright evil.
Yep.
So, all right, I hate to push you away, Jay, but we've got a couple of people, and we've only got a couple of minutes. Good to hear from you again tonight, so appreciate it. Good night. Okay, let's see. We'll see if we can get back to the next person in the queue. Try that. Okay, Mark's already been done. Okay, we got a wireless caller, 731, first name and state. And we got to keep it short. We've got one other person. I'd like to get both in before we shut down. You've been unmuted, but it looks like you muted yourself, maybe, a wireless caller. 731, try to unmute yourself. There you go. You got it.
All right. My name is, did you ask me to give you the state and what? My name?
Yeah, your first name and your state. That's all we look
for. Okay, Calvin in Tennessee.
Calvin in Tennessee. You got the mic.
All right, young man. I have a question. There's some legal stuff that's going on with me with... a traffic stop. Let me turn off this fan because I don't want no background noise. But I got stopped April the 2nd, early that morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning. I had a friend that wanted me to put some brakes on his wife's car. And by the time I could get to his car and get it fixed, it was after 1 o'clock, and took the car back, came back home. Got within a half a mile or a little less from my house, stopped to get gas. As soon as I drove maybe a quarter of a mile and turned on my road, I noticed some lights were behind me. Pulled into my driveway, and I stopped in my driveway because I normally bag my van in because it has blind spots. So when I pulled into my driveway to let this car that was behind me go past me so I could pull back out, well, bag back out, pull up, then back in. And when I was sitting there waiting for this vehicle to pass, they stopped behind me. And I was wondering, who in the world is stopping, you know, at my house at 2 o'clock in the morning? And while I was waiting for them to do something, I noticed the vehicle started backing up. And as soon as it started backing up, maybe within a second after it started backing up, turned on the blue lights. But what the guy was trying to say, that it was a traffic stop. Is that true? When you're in your driveway and you wasn't, no blue lights were on when you was driving, it's just like whenever I stopped in my driveway.
Well, you know, again, he doesn't have to have the red lights necessarily. I don't think, you know, he's trying to stop you. Shouldn't be stopping you anyway, because you're, unless you were driving commercial, was the vehicle.
No, sir. I understand all that commerce stuff and commercial stuff and the traffic and all that is commercial. But anyway, what happened?
Best I can tell you, though, this is the best I can tell you, though, for the moment, because we're 11:01 and we've got one other person. I want to give them a couple of minutes, but I'll give you another minute or two. But the best I can show you, I got a page. I don't know how much familiar you are with our site here. If you go under Education Starts Here and you come down to Law, are you able to see? Are you on a computer or?
Well, I am, but I just got done reading this county sheriff's handbook because it was a sheriff deputy.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And, you know,
what I'm trying to say is this, though. If you come down to Law and then you come over to Court Forms and Process, you'll find a lot of information. You get good instructions and forms for traffic court. Did they give you a ticket?
No, sir. That's what I was getting to.
Oh, okay.
The guy, when I saw the guy backing up, because I'm out right there at the end of my driveway, but I wasn't on the road. When I seen him backing up, I said, here we go. So I just went ahead and pulled in and just parked in my driveway. And I said, well, I'm not going to sit in my car at 2 o'clock in the morning when, you know, I was in my driveway when this guy decided he was going to turn on his blue light. So I just pulled up and got out. And when I got out, two guys got out and they started asking for my ID, and he was like, I said, why? And he was like, well, you were swerving back there. And I said, well, I was dodging some bad spots in the road, some manhole and some bad other spots. So in the road, I just kind of like went around them. You know, anytime you see somebody, if a car isn't coming, you're going to try to miss those things to keep from jarring your car. So anyway, and I said, are you trying to say that I'm inebriated? I mean, intoxicated? And he was like, well, we don't know. We need your ID. And I was like, well, I didn't do anything, you know, no probable cause or whatever. He was like, well, we need your ID. And I said, I want a supervisor. And I thought that might stop him until the supervisor came and put his 2 cents on it. But anyway, they ramped it up because I started recording them with my phone. And next thing you know, I'm just trying to shorten the story up. He said, you're under arrest. And I'm just trying to shorten the story up. But anyway, I got arrested because they were trying to say.
Here's the bottom line on this, though. There's nothing more dangerous than ignorance and action. And so when you know people are ignorant and they're going to act, you got to be careful. Look, I have no problem. I mean, I do kind of have a problem, but I'm not going to fight with a cop. I'm just not going to do it. Whatever they ask for, I roll my window down fine. I roll my window down. They want my ID, I give them my ID. I don't give them a hard time. And usually, you know, it's okay. I've never really had a real problem, and quite often, you know, I'd get away with not even having a ticket. But sometimes, of course, I get a ticket. I suggest to people, the cop has no clue on what the law really is. They're not taught anything. They're as ignorant as we are, maybe even a lot more. And they're taught how they have to run their job, and they run it according to their protocols. And You're not gonna, we need to change that, but we can't change that now. We can't, and that's what they do. And, you know, if I'm going to fight this, I'm going to fight the judge, because that's where my battle is going to be, in the courtroom. And so I deal with it there. So I suggest strongly to people, I know there's a lot of videos out there, and they teach you all these different things, but I think you're really putting yourself in jeopardy of being potentially arrested. Like, you got arrested, you know? And how bad did it get now? Now that you've been arrested, what were the charges, and was there a conclusion to the matter, or what? But we got to make it quick.
I got to go back to court on the 15th, but the question that I have for you, Tennessee isn't a sloppy ID state, and I know the answer, at least I believe I do. Can the sheriff and the sheriff department, his agents, can they enforce statutes and codes lawfully?
Well, they do, but they can't. They can't lawfully. Yeah, they do, but because they're as ignorant as we are, again, until we start to learn and start to look at the common law. And that's why, you know, we teach people to get committees of safety together, get them going, and then we teach them how to deal with the sheriff for the beginning. And you got to educate the sheriff, get him a copy of the book of government by consent, and there's a process that we put together, because you have to have a sheriff that's going to be behind the people. The sheriff is there to protect the people. He's to enforce the law, okay? And he's definitely there to protect us from an overreaching government, whether it be from a cop in the streets or whatever. So, you know, again, it's a problem. It's a major problem. And the cops need to, look, once we take our courts back and we eventually, you know, dribble all the way down into the town courts and the village courts, because that's the ones that usually handle the tickets. In some places, it's a county or a city court, but generally, that's where they handle the tickets. And once you dwindle down to that, and you start to get that court to the point where they're no longer going to be able to, you know, because you bring them into court, they're no longer going to be able to apply tickets against people, only the commercial people driving commercially. Then what happens eventually, a lot of these courts will shut down, police departments will shut down.
Well,
they're code enforcement lawyers and code enforcement officers. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I understand all that. The police department, I know, is a municipal corporation, and they have a different charter than what the sheriff has. But the other problem is, like, it's designed for them to get you into this unlawful court, these traffic courts, which are not really, you know, they don't have jurisdiction to even.
They don't have persona jurisdiction. They do have subject matter jurisdiction, which means they can give a ticket to someone driving commercially and deal with it, okay? That they can do, because they have jurisdiction over the person at that point as well as the subject. But as for people, they don't have persona jurisdiction over we, the people who are not doing anything. So working for an agency, not working in a commercial activity, not driving a commercial vehicle, you know? So if you want to get more deeper into this, we need to do it next week, because we're out of time. And we got one other person. I'd like to give them a couple of minutes.
Yes, sir. I understand, man. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk again. Thanks a lot, Calvin.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Last person in the queue. We'll give you a couple of minutes. Marianne from Indiana. You got the mic.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
This is Marianne from Indiana, and I heard a fellow Indiana guy man speak, and he was talking about the regional water and sewer. And I hear that term region, and I've been trying to warn people every opportunity I have that regionalization is being pushed down through economic development. I mean, it's bad because they're trying to...
How are they defining the region, do you know?
I'm sorry, what?
When you say it's regional, how are they defining the regional, do you know?
See, that's just it. You hear the term region left and right all the time. And even our... we started being regionalized definitely here in Indiana under Eric Holcomb, Governor Holcomb. And their regions were created... if you go through the... I want to. I'm hoping that the Indiana man is still listening. It's called IEDC.IN.GOV. So if you hear me, if you go there and you look up, go to the bottom of the page on iedc.in.gov, you look up under Transparency Portal, like where it gives a list of all the different sections of the website, it'll say Transparency Portal, and you click on that, and you can look up regions, and all sorts of data will come up, all sorts of information and different contracts and so on and so forth. But we were regionalized under, starting in 2021, I want to say, here in Indiana. It's right after Trump left office. But yeah, they set up 17 regions, and then just in so they set up what's called READI, R-E-A-D-I, Regional Economic Accelerated Development Initiatives.
Yeah, that sounds like the Agenda 20, was it Agenda 21 or 20 or something?
Yeah, so it really is. It's Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050, 2065, yeah. Like whatever. But that's just the next step of it, was to regionalize, and it's really quite serious because EDA.gov, which is in the Department of Commerce, they're the ones who in 2021 used ARPA funds, actually started with CARES, but I have the ARPA presentation that proves it, and they refer back to CARES as well, the $1.5 billion, and then another $3 billion under CARES, and then $3 billion that they received under ARPA, under the ARPA Act.
All that's going to eventually be shut down because it's ultimately unconstitutional from the standpoint that foreign money is coming into the game to deal with we the people.
Yeah, so. It is 100% unconstitutional, and it is so bad. It's World Economic Forum, UN, China. It's really bad. But people are just not aware, and I think part of it is people are just not, like, it's being hidden. It's intentionally deceptive. It's totally intentional.
Yeah, almost all the things that they do, especially in the beginning and getting things into place, it's all covert. And, yeah, it's like everything else. So you just really kind of opened an understanding here, because I did hear him, I think, mention something that he might have, didn't he mention regional?
Yes, he mentioned it was regional water and sewer. And,
yeah, so that's very interesting. Now, I'll bet you a lot of donuts, dollars to donuts, that that there is no environmental study on that. I'll bet you.
Oh, I Indiana has its own state, like, requirements or whatever for regional water and sewer and setting up sewer districts.
Let me tell you something. It's all part of the engineering of what the impact is on a development to the area and society around, and not only just water and sewer, but also for the drainage. You know, how much water is involved in dealing with that? If it's a community or whatever the case may be, there's a lot of factors that come into play, wetlands and all kinds of things. So, anytime you do a large construction, you have to do an environmental study, and again, some of them are more stringent than others. I mean, when you're doing something like a sewage treatment plant, that's the heavy duty focus on that one, and that's going to be multi millions of dollars to do. And like I said, that's probably what will shut that down. But we'll see. Hopefully, he'll dig that information up and bring it to us next week. But I'll give you one more minute because we've got to close down. It's really late.
But see, they don't care. They're working above the law, and they're also
I'll tell you right now that even though they're working above the law, the courts will hear that case. You know, you bring it into the state court, I'm sure they'll hear that case. So.
Yeah, I mean, but that case has to be brought, and that's part of.
But that's true. And that's why we're teaching people how to deal with the law, and people who want to really get involved heavily with the law by our courses. But I'll tell you right now, environmental studies, you'll find it is in the law, and it's very clear. You know, you can do it. You can start off with just a notice and demand, and then that notice and demand could be brought into a court for a very short hearing, and it becomes very clear and very simple. The law, you produce the law requiring, especially, and you'll find something on sewage treatment plants and different things, but in any event, you bring in the law, the requirement, and therefore it has to be done, and if you haven't done it, you can't do the project. So you could start off with a notice and demand, and then you can move that notice and demand into the state court and looking for ultimately a summary judgment on it, because you've laid it already out. It'll end up being a court case and very short couple of hearings, and you'll let the judge deal on it because it's his forte anyway. They're administrative law judges, and this is an administrative process. And it'll go very quickly in the courts, and the court will have no choice but to determine the fact that it has to be done. Look, you guys got to go out and get your environmental study if you're going to do this, and without that, you can't go forward. And if they refuse to do it, it definitely will be that kind of a case would be won on the appeal up the line.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with that, I got to close down. You got maybe a final 10 seconds because we got to go.
Oh, thank you. Just push back against Regions. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye. Okay, we've come to the end of our program for the night. Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday. Hopefully we'll see everybody and pick it up from there. Good night, everybody.
Thanks.